We're learning a difficult sugya, but a beautiful one. Neir Shabbos. It was mentioned to me, and rightfully so, that for certain individuals who, for whatever the reasons of the Hashgacha, are not yet in a home, a husband or wife, so obviously the topic of Neir Shabbos and the home and the woman's role in the Hadlakas and Neiris in lighting the candles can awaken certain sad thoughts. But my intention is that everything that we're learning should be a tefillah, should be a, by way of being Ma'ir Rachmim, and it should bring a Mitzvah Shem for each and every one, the Yeshua of the right person at the right time. So not the Chas V'Sholom to be saddened, but other Rabbi, when we learn the Inyanim and we daven for them, we change the Torah into tefillah, and we lift ourselves up to a higher level, so then we're making ourselves greater kalim, greater vessels to receive the bracha. And yet I understand, and I'm sorry if it makes anybody feel that way. I guess you stopped coming, so tell them I'm sorry. Hilamdeinu Rabbeinu. It's the Medrash in Tanchuma. Al kama averis noshem meses b'shas lidosin. You know that even now, it's dangerous to have a baby. It's dangerous. A woman's life is in danger. Thank God there are more advanced techniques now. We just have unbelievable siyata d'shmaya, help from Hashem, but really, Chazal tell us in the Medrash, and the Gemara talks about this as well, that at that moment when a woman is in such a precarious predicament, when her life is in such a delicate and dangerous place, so Chazal say that there are certain things in particular that are being reviewed, that are being checked to see if everything's in order. Hadlokas aner. And one of them is whether she's careful, she's medakdekis, she's careful with lighting the Shabbos candles, the right time and the right way. Hadlokas aner dechsiv v'karosu l'Shabbos einig. And Shabbos, it says in the Navi, and Shabbos, we'll talk a lot about this, especially when we discuss the meals of Shabbos. But the karosel is Shabbos oinig, and you shall declare Shabbos an oinig, a day of delight. And it's not clear what that means. One person's misery is another person's delight. And Chazal say, Zu hadlokes haner b'Shabbos. Chazal identified this for us when he says the karosel is Shabbos oinig. So here the Medrash tells us what is the delight of Shabbos. Zu hadlokas haner. This is the lighting of the Shabbos candle. Vim timer leisha b'chayshech. If you would say, could it be that a Jew should spend the entire Shabbos sitting in darkness? Ein ze einig. What kind of a delight would it be? Wouldn't be an einig. She'ein yoishve gehenim nidoinim ele b'chayshech. Because those who dwell in Gehenna are dwelling in darkness. So we understand that Shabbos is Me'ein Olam Haba. Shabbos is a day when every Jew spends some time sitting in that world, tasting that world of what it's going to be like. Therefore, it would be the antithesis of Shabbos to sit in darkness. Darkness is the place, Yoshvei Chayshuch Tzalmoves, darkness is the place of suffering and of din. And since Shabbos is a day of oinig, therefore Chazal say, Zu hadlokas haner. This is referring to the delight, the most essential delight of Shabbos is the light of Shabbos. The Rambam paskens lahalocha in the 30th chapter of Hil Shabbos, Va'afilo ein lo mayoichal. Could you imagine, even if a Jew doesn't have what to eat, Chas V'Sholom, doesn't have what to eat, Shol al Apsochim, he first has to go, and if necessary, to go ask other people for handout, for money. v'lekeach shemen, so that he should be able to buy oil, or madlikas anir, and light the Shabbos candle. Shezeh b'chlal oinig Shabbos. Because this is included, this is the mitzvah of oinig Shabbos, of delighting in the Shabbos. This is amazing. This is the ik oinig Shabbos. Because we don't find, even when it comes to eating on Shabbos, again, this is discussed in Shulchan Aruch and Mishnah Berurah, how and when, but as far as the oinig Shabbos is concerned regarding the meals, strictly speaking, one is not obligated to go begging in order to have the money to pay, in order to have the money to pay for that type of oinig Shabbos, that dimension of oinig Shabbos. But when it comes to the Hadlakas and there, when it comes to the Shabbos candles, so there the Rambam passes the halachas shalal psachim, even if he has to go beg for the money, lo aleinu, he must do it. So we see from here that the ikar oinig Shabbos, the essence of oinig Shabbos, of delighting in Shabbos, is delighting of Shabbos, the candles, delighting of the Shabbos candles. That's the ikar. That's the ikar oinig Shabbos. So the question is, we're going one step further now, but it's all connected to the earlier Shiur, but it still hopefully could be understood without the earlier Shiur. But those who have been here and who have been learning and listening, it will certainly be easier. How do the Shabbos candles create Oinig Shabbos? Those sweet little candles that we take so much for granted, how do they create this unbelievable mood of Oinig Shabbos? And then, of course, why is that koyach? Why is that ability to generate such Oinig Shabbos? Why is that something which is given uniquely, or not uniquely, but is given primarily to the woman? So we're going to enter into the sugya of Oinig Shabbos. And this, tonight what we're going to learn is only by way of hakdama to what we really need to get into the next few weeks, which is the concept of Malchus, and the meaning of Malchus on Shabbos. So this is going to be a little bit of a psicha, a little bit of an opening to that world, and then for the next few weeks we're going to have to talk about Malchus. And try, if you can, Mitzvah Hashem, to come those two or three weeks in a row, because the Yesod is the Yesod which we're going to need for the next few months. The truth is, the Gemara tells us, is one that often causes us much anxiety and even suffering. Kol Adam la'omal nivra. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, on Tzadik Tes, that man was created to labor. Man was created to work. There are many people who are trying to avoid that. But la'omal yulad, the Gemara brings the pasuk from the Eve, Adam la'omal yulad, man was created to work. Adam la'omal yulad. So this picture of man's creation, of amelus, of hard work, of struggling, is not particularly an encouraging one. But it's the Metzius. It certainly is an accurate description of reality. On the other hand, in contradistinction to this picture of man's purpose being amal amelus, hard work, we find at the beginning of Mesilas Yesharim, the Ramchal, in his famous words, writes, that man was created to delight in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. L'is'aneg al Hashem. So these are two clashing worlds. The world of Amelis, which conjures up thoughts of hard work, which conjures up thoughts of difficulty, of suffering. And l'is'aneg al Hashem, man was created to delight. So how do we resolve this? Either we were created to work and to struggle, or were we created to delight l'is'aneg al Hashem? One's entire life is one that's spent of amelus in order to come to the einig. This is what we're told since we're little. that if you'll succeed, if you'll be a good little boy, a good little girl, you'll work hard, it'll be good. Zayin Git. It'll be good. And many people are still waiting, and their beards are turning gray. But it'll be good. It'll be good. The amelas, the hard work, is something that is necessary, we're told, to bring to the Einig. And it's true. The Gemara says at the beginning of Avodah Zarah, Misha Tarach Be'erev Shabbos, Yoichel B'Shabbos. The one who works hard, Erev Shabbos, he'll be able to enjoy, to delight in Shabbos. And Erev Shabbos doesn't just mean Friday. Erev Shabbos means many, many years, many decades. The vast majority of one's life is Misha Tarach, is working hard. But the Tachlis is to come to that Bechina, that Tachlis of the Einig. So Amal is a necessary, Amal, which means hard work, is a necessary means to reaching the ultimate goal or the ultimate end, which is certainly, as the Ramchal writes, Lis'anig al Hashem. As the Navi says, Oz tis'anig al Hashem. Lis'anig al Hashem, which is the delight in Hashem. And these two worlds of amelus, of hard work, of labor, and of einig, and delight, joy, and pleasure, atrei rei and delay mispardon klala, two colleagues, two comrades that are inseparable. Meaning, a person who works on and on and on, but he never ever reaches the einig, he never reaches the tachlis. That is probably the main source of man's misery and suffering in this world. It means like a million Tu B'Shvats without any Shavuos, without any Pesachs, just planting and planting and dreaming and hoping and waiting for the rain and being told it's going to grow soon. I thought it's going to be okay. Amelus, hard work without reaching a tachlis, going on and on and on, day after day, year after year, is the most insufferable, the most horrible thing. That's what it says in the Haggadah, Ves amoleinu elu habonim. What does that mean? In Mitzrayim, it was terrible. Because Mitzrayim meant a woman going through 9 months, carrying a baby and having a child. And what that means for a husband, for a wife, to have a child. And the amelus that goes in just to carry the child and bring the child into the world. Ves amaleinu elu habana means you worked, there was amelus. There was so much hope that was poured into that baby. And then in a moment, the baby's thrown into the river. Ves amaleinu elu habana means amelus omal work, investing, without seeing the fruits of one's labor, without seeing tachlis, creates in a person a feeling of a life that's a yegia lehevel v'lerik, wasted futile efforts, working for what? To get to what? What's the tachlis? Just amelus. Adam la'omel yula, this is this. Just amelus. Schlepping and krechtsing and for what? The biggest klala of this world is, God forbid, the klala of shlanigal hevel v'rik, that we shouldn't work for nothing. Lehevel v'rik. On the other hand, it's a gzeirah min hashamayim. It's a decree from Hashem that one cannot truly reach any einig in life, when you cannot really reach anything that's truly delightful, as the Torah understands what it means, which we'll talk about, unless you pass through the difficult, dark days of amelus. You can't come to any einig. And a lot of people are trying to avoid it, as I said before. But you can't really, really come to an einig, come to that point of ultimate delight and pleasure, as is understood and defined by Hashem Yisbarach, unless you go through difficulties of amelus. That's why Chazal even said kolas cholas kashas, and I've mentioned to you before that all beginnings are difficult. When you set your mind to doing something, it immediately becomes difficult. If you don't try, if you don't set your mind to it, it's not hard. But if you set your mind to it, it becomes difficult. And somebody has said, tzaddik, but Rabbi, I'm doing this, I don't find it difficult at all. So he says that means you haven't even started. Since it's a klal, kolas cholas, kol hascholas kashas. So if somebody tells you, I don't know why, learning is very easy for me. I sit in yeshiva, it's a mechayah. It's very easy, it means he hasn't started learning. Kolas cholas kashas a klal, you can't get out of it. It just means you haven't started. But if you really started, it means there's going to be a meilus. Anything that's precious, anything that brings einik to a person, it can only come as a result of amelus, of hard work. That's the gzeir of Adam la'amo yulad. Then the Rebbeinu Shalom gave us something that's called Shabbos. And Shabbos is mein olam haba. It's a taste of the world to come. And the world to come, as the Ramchal tells us and Chazal tell us, the world to come is the mokum ha'einig. That is the ultimate delight. That's the ultimate experience of oz tis anig al Hashem, of delighting in Hashem. So what does Shabbos do? Shabbos has the unique ability to take the amelus, the hard work of the 6 days, and to attach it each and every week to Tachlis. This is an amazing thing. We take it for granted. We have to understand this. Shabbos every single week makes a kesher, a gesher, a bridge, an attachment between the two worlds of hard work, of struggling, of schlepping, and what? And a feeling of this tak is some purpose, there's some reason, there's a reason why I'm doing all of this. Therefore, Shabbos Mincha, which is the holiest time, Menuchas Ahava Nadova, Menuchas Emes Vemuna, Menuchas Emes, a true rest. Menuchas Emes Vemuna, a faithful rest. Menuchas Sholom, Vishalva, Vahashke, Vavetach, of peace and serenity, of security. What does that mean? That means that every single week, it's possible, you have to want this. If you don't want it, then it's not shaykh. But if you want it, every single week, a person is able to lift himself up, herself up to a place on Shabbos, which is kula tachlis, where you taste mamish the tachlis. You taste the end. It's kula einig. It's kol malach dechassu. You're not allowed to schlep. You're not allowed to work. You're not allowed to be engaged in the world of amelus when it comes to things of this world. It's a time that's spent in an Eden. It's a time when a person can sit back and say, Bishvil ze ani amel. This is why I work. This is why I've been doing this. You know, most of the world, they don't know that. They can't say that. This is why. Maybe, you know, when they get to the vacation spot and they get into some club that until now they weren't allowed into, and then he could turn around and say, this is why I worked for 51 weeks. This is the tachlis. That is just deepening. That's just deepening the amelus, the futility. But for a Jew, Baruch Hashem, every single week a person is able to stop and to think and to realize and to come to a point and to say, this is why I'm doing, this is why I'm working. This is the tachlis. Because if a person's only working and he asks himself the question, for what am I working? To what end? To what goal? What's the purpose of my work? And if he doesn't have a very deep and meaningful answer to that, if it's to buy something or get something or to have something of this world, then ultimately it turns bitter in his mouth. Bishvil ze ani omel. Every single Friday when you sit down and there's Hashem at the Shabbos table, You could say, Bishvil ze ani omel, even if God forbid you're alone. We'll talk about that a lot, Mitzvah Shem. Shlomo HaMelech was very smart, and his wisdom was beyond our understanding. And Shlomo HaMelech said in Kehelis, Yesh echad ve'ein sheni. V'gam ben v'ach ein loy v'ein keitz d'kol amoloy. Shlomo HaMelech said that when there's one and there's not two, when you're by yourself, ein keitz l'kol amoloy, then it seems that there's no end, there's no purpose in all of your work. Tovim hashnayim in ha'echad. It's so good when there are two and not one. Even though it's possible for even a person to be alone and to feel this. But certainly, Shlomo HaMelech is telling us that the deepest truth is that Einig can only really, really be on the deepest level when there are two, not one. Which means that if a person's living by himself or by herself and working and getting up early and going to work and accumulating money and trying to get some nice things and to fix up the place a little bit. When a person's alone, God forbid, in the world, so there is this feeling, this unbelievable feeling of sadness that we should never know from. The question is, for whom am I working? What's the point? What's the point of all of this? For whom? Why am I working? What's the tachlis? What's the einig? In other words, it's okay, you told me, you know, I'll give money to this yeshiva, I'll give money to this hospital, I'll help these people out, and it's 100%, it's unbelievable. And in that way, you certainly can connect to many, many people and friends, there's no question about it. But we spoke about last week, and we have to understand now on a deeper level, is that lo tov at the beginning of the Torah is lo tov heyos ha'adam levado, that it's not good for man to be alone. And here, as I said last week, the Torah is defining the essence of lo tovness, of that which is not good. And the essence of lo tov in the world is heyos ha'adam levado, is to be by yourself, chas v'shalom, to be a husband without a wife without a husband, to be someone who's not married. Therefore, on that pasuk in Kehelis, Rashi says, Tovim hashnayim. So Rashi first says, Lefichach, in the earlier part of your life, Yikna adam chaver. When you're young, try very, very hard to acquire a good friend. Rashi doesn't say chaverim, it's interesting. Rashi says, Yikna chaver. A lot of people think that they have to have a big chaver. Rashi says, Yikna chaver, it says in Mishnah, Knei lecha chaver, it doesn't say to acquire a society or a civilization, or that you have to have, you know, you have to have 12 couples at your Shabbos table and make believe that that's called Hachnasas Orchem or something when it's just socializing. Which is most likely against the Torah of the whole thing. So Rashi first says, Lefichach yikna adam chaver. The beginning is to acquire a chaver, to acquire a friend. But then ultimately the tachlis is v'yisa isha. Tovim hashnayim in ha'echad, that two are better than one. So Rashi says, v'yisa isha. In other words, the epitome of that world that Shlomo HaMelech is describing as tovim hashnayim, that tov is good. What is the meaning of good? Good is when there are two. The Torah says at the beginning, Loi tov heyos adam levado. It is not good to be alone. So tovim hashnayim in ha'echad, the tovim hashnayim in ha'echad, Rashi tells us, means a man and a woman, a husband and wife. Tovim hashnayim. Because the Maral and the other tzaddikim explain, Reb Tzadik, the Maral explain, that in that world of marriage, and understand this well, because this try not to hear this in a silly way. I'm trying not to say it in a silly way, so try not to hear it in a silly and simple way. The Maral tells us, and we'll learn, we'll see the Maral's words a little bit later, that the ikar tafkid of a man in this world, of the male, of the husband, is amelus. Traditionally, the man is the one, traditionally, who leaves the home, who's out in the world for the 6 days of the week. Traditionally. Circumstances and other things sometimes demand that the woman also go outside. But the ideal metzius is, and I don't care if anybody disagrees with me because this is the view of the Torah, the ideal metzius is that the woman remain in the home. That's the ideal metzius. One possible, it's not always possible. So the ikar chelik of the man, in this world is odom la'omel yulad, is amelus, is working towards, making it possible, the means. And the ikar inyan of a woman whose bechin is malchus, that's why we need to talk for a few weeks about malchus. The man is yisoid, we'll talk about that, and the woman is malchus. Yisoid means going somewhere, malchus means being there. And malchus, the malchus of the woman is to be able to transform the amelus. Listen carefully, this is why she's so connected to Shabbos and the Shabbos candles. The ikar tafkid of a woman is to be able to transform the amelus into oinig. To take the hard work of the husband and to do something with it. But to make it into oinig. Poof. It always amazes me how my wife does that. In other words, like the husband, in a very coarse way, let's imagine like this. The husband comes home, and let's say he has his couple of dollars. This is some filthy, grimy coins and bills. Throws it on the table. Closes his eyes. And a little bit later, he's eating a piece of delicious kugel. It's meridic. Here you're able to change something disgusting and filthy and physical and low into something that gives a person such a sweet taste of Shabbos, into such a delight, such an einig. That's with food. Much, much more she does with the children. With the children. That if it were up to the men, they would remain per adam. The children would remain as in an unkempt and wild natural state. The woman has an unbelievable kayach of malchus, which we'll talk a lot about what that means. She's able to take the amelus, the hard work, and to create from that hard work, which is for something, which the man is involved in, for something. Why do you do this day and night? It's for something. What is it? I'm not sure, but it's for something. And the woman is able to take that yesod, that amelus of the 6 days of the week, and to create it into an einig, into a delight that is felt in every room of the house, even if they're people who are not well-to-do, but to take even the smallest thing. It always amazes me. Over the years, you know, my wife and I have been in different places because we had different gilgulim and different times and what we could afford, what we couldn't afford. And like the different perspective of a man and woman when you come into a depressing place. Like it could be like a run-down apartment or a disgusting bungalow or something. And the man's initial feeling is, I can't believe I'm paying that, like, you know, whatever for this thing. I can't believe it. And the woman's initial reaction is, you know, I'll get a little bit of a curtain here. I'll find on sale something and we'll get a nice little tablecloth and we'll paint a little bit here, a little bit there. A woman has, because she's malchus, and you can't understand that unless you understand what malchus is. So this is just a psicha. A woman has the ability to change amelus into tachlis, to change the working for into here it is, to change or to connect, not change, change is not accurate, to connect the moving towards something to being something. That's what it means, ishtoi, that the wife is called beiso, is called the house. It's not pshat to make the house better. It creates the mitzias of a house. Chazal said this in many, many ways. Listen to this one, which we'll talk about for a few weeks. This is the Gemara in Yevamos and Samach Gimel. A man brings the grain back from the shuk. He knows what to do with it. Again, he puts the bag on the table. He says, here's what I got. Right now you can go to a bakery. It's a little bit easier. So pishtan, he has the flax. Pishtan loyvesh, what's he supposed to do? He's supposed to wear that on Shabbos? The material? What's he supposed to do with it? The Gemara says, isn't the woman the one? Mi'ira es einav. Mi'ira es einav. She's the one who gives light to his eyes. That's the Shabbos candles. That's what we're going to talk about. Mi'ira es einav. Lanim says, Mi'ira es einav u'mamidoso araglav. Isn't she the one who brings light to his eyes and stands him on his feet? That's what the Gemara says. The man comes and he brings the stuff back. Here's my amelus. I worked hard. And she takes this and is mi'ires einav. She illuminates his life. Mi'ires einav, mamidos haraglav, and stands him on his feet. This means that primarily, the investment of the man, of the Adam, of the Ish, is the means. That's Yesod. It's the means. Yosef HaTzadik was the provider. That's Yesod. The means. And the means includes the chitin and pishtan, the grain and the flax, the raw materials of life. But in that state, it is still in a very, very diminished and dark form that's called, that Shlomo HaMelech called, Ein Keitz L'Kol Amalo. There is no end to man's work. He's not finished. In other words, he doesn't know what to do now. He does not know. He's limited. He doesn't understand. How do I change this working for something into the tachlis, into the oining, into the delight that Hashem has promised? There's a limitation in that world of Yesod. So despite the fact that he worked hard the entire week, all the work that he put in, he still is not able to come to that point of lechem lechel, beged lilbaish, to mamish, to enjoy a piece of bread and to be able to put on a piece of clothing, a clean pair of pants, a shirt, a coat. Ein keitz l'kol amalo. There's no end to that feeling of amelus. Now what? But beisai zu ishtoi. The house is the wife, because it's only through her. Again, one can taste of this in a very, very small way without a wife, but it's not the shleimus, and only somebody who's never had that shleimus could imagine that it is. But if you know what it is, then it's nothing else. That only through the Isha, through Malchus, the Malchus of the Jewish wife, of the woman, is it possible for the Amelus to come to the Tachlis, to a feeling of Oinig, of Oztis Aneg. She changes. She connects the Amelis, the work that just seems to go on and on and on. It's endless. It's futile. And she says, she takes that and she says, no, this is the Tachlis, this is the Einig. She's able to transform the Nega, which means all misery, the Nega, which means leprosy, the suffering of this world, the suffering of the 6 days of Amelis, of Narishkeit, of stupid conversations in the office, of having to make a million dumb calls to try to sell something that you don't even believe in. And all these ridiculous things that we have to do to survive. that are just amelus and ain't case the kolamolo and havel havolum omar kahelus hakol havel. And you feel that it's just stupid. My whole life is just totally, it's just a total waste of time. So it's wonderful I got these two people to agree, and now he's selling and he's buying. It's gewaltig. That's the biggest nega of the world. Because the nega of all man's existence is the yigia lehel verig, is senselessness. It's a feeling of not accomplishing, of not seeing the tachlis. That's why Chazal tell us that in Mitzrayim, that was the most terrible torture. When they realized that they were building something that couldn't possibly stand. They were building a city that couldn't survive. Pyramids that were going to sink. At least I thought I was accomplishing something. I'll share with you something. You know, if any of you have ever been to the Holocaust Museum in Washington? In Washington, there's a museum. It's not really done in a way which is so sensitive to Torah, but Afal Pichen, there's a lot to see over there. And I remember I was there when it first opened. There was a display of actual rock quarry, rocks that were part of a quarry there were in Mauthausen. And you might recall that there's a thing there explaining how the Jews had to walk in a terribly, terribly narrow, it wasn't a staircase, up the side of the hill and carry these huge boulders. And my father was in that, my father was working in that quarry in Mauthausen. And he told me that's really when he wanted to die. He couldn't think of how he would survive. Because at that point of the war, the Germans weren't even having, they didn't even have the Jews build anything. All they were doing was being told to carry these boulders up and to carry them down all day long. If you tripped, if you dropped something, they would shoot you. And it was all day long, my father said, just up and down. He said, until then, first they were taken to forced labor. And even though it was for the Sodom Yimach Shemam, but you felt you were doing something, you were building something. Here it was just a yigia of Hevel Hurig. Nothing. Adam La'omo Yulad, without an end to the story. Without anything. To show for what you're working for. That's the nega. And the oinig is Shabbos. And the root and source of oinig Shabbos is when the woman lights the candles, mi'iras einav, and she causes her husband's eyes to shine. She brings light to his eyes. This is the light that we've been talking about the last few weeks, you remember? The light of the tachlis, the light from one end of the world to the other, the light to know where I'm going and why I'm going. My yisrin loy shiyama leruach. Gam kol yom of b'chayshech yaychel, which means, what's the point of working for the wind? Ruach means chanarishkeit. If your whole life you're eating in darkness, you're eating in darkness, Shlomo Melech said that too. Achila b'chayshech. Achila b'chayshech is a description of eating in the darkness means I work, I have food because I got my paycheck and I'm alive. What's the point? It's dark, which means there's nothing beyond. There's nothing outside. There's no point to it. There's nothing, I'm not going anywhere with it. I'm eating in darkness. That's how Shlomo Melech describes Amelus, which is Leruach, which is to the wind. To the wind. So when the woman comes and she lights Shabbos candles, when everything is done, even though it's such a crazy Erev Shabbos, and we've been talking about that the whole year, and Erev Shabbos, there was Erev Shabbos, and finally, no matter what, it's the Zman, or maybe 2 or 3 minutes after the Zman, it's the Zman, and those magic movements of the woman's hands. And at that moment, the Shabbos candles are lit, and she's Me'iris Einav, which means, now I can see why I do all of that. Now I can see. Now I have light in my eyes. I'm not blind. I'm not dark. It's not darkness. Now I see what's the tachlis. And the menucha that comes is unbelievable. Amidas haraglav. that gives him the ability to stand, to continue. Mamidos Haragla gives a tachlis, that Bez Hashem, if there are children, and what it means to have a Jewish home, and even if they haven't been blessed yet with children or can't have children according to the Teva, but to create that world of Tovim Hashnayim and Ha'echad, when the two halves of the neshama come together and they're able to lift each other up and bring each other closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mamidos Haraglav, therefore, the same Eev, who said Adam la Omol Yula, that man was created to work, the same Eev, in the midst of his suffering, Eev said, "Lo miyitein la Omol Or," in the third parak, which means, how could I go on working my entire life if there's no light? How could I work? How could I go on working if there's no light? Meaning, if there's no hargosh, if there's no feeling at any point of tachlis, of there being a goal, a purpose, an end. My whole life is just means without any end, without any tachlis. Omal alone, if it's only omal, it's chayshech, it's darkness. That's the darkness of Mitzrayim. When there's oinig, when there's something to anticipate, when there's a taste of Shabbos, when there's a taste of the tachlis, and that's what Shabbos is, a taste of the tachlis, of oz tisanigal Hashem, when you're not just going towards something, but you're there, you're mamish there. That's what Daniel said, in the Sefer Daniel it says, Yedamashu b'chshuch v'noheri meishar, which means, Ibn Ezra explains that with Hashem, that there's light in the darkness. Ibn Ezra writes, Ma b'chashucha, Ma b'koyach liyos, k'moy v'taluma yoytzi or. Ibn Ezra says an amazing thing. Potential is called darkness. You hear this? Chashucha, Ibn Ezra explains, is dark. That darkness, chashucha, is what? Masha b'koyach, what I could do. You know, you have people that they could have as their last name, I could have, should have, would have, right? Moishala, I could have, should have, would have, Weinberger. My wife says a lot of times, because I fall into that, I could have done like this, I should have done like that, why didn't they do this? So my wife always says, Moisha, could have, should have, would have, Weinberger. So that life of would have, could have, should have, is chayshich, is dark. Because of what? Everything's bekayach. How many years can parents be told, Mrs. So-and-so, your son has a lot of potential? Like, you know, but he's 71. He's got a lot of potential. He's got a lot of potential. We'll get him out of high school eventually. He's got tremendous potential. How many years? How many years could you hear this? The whole bekayach, bekayach is wonderful. Bekayach is fantastic. The potential means, it means Tu B'Shvat. It's unbelievable. But potential alone, Ibn Ezra says, he's explaining the Pasuk of Daniel, means Chashucha. And what's Nahir, what's light? So he explains that Nahir means Hakol Lefonav Kemaisa. The light, Hashem's light means that it's not just something that could be, but it's something that's carried out Lemaisa. Hakol Lefonav Kemaisa. That's why, like, even publishing a book is called Lahoitzi Laor. It's an interesting term. To publish Torah. You can't say that when you put out, when you put out something secular. That could be Lahoitzi Chayshach. But when you're putting out Svarim, when you put a Jew puts out Torah, that's called Lahoitzi Laor. That means that there was potential. Potential alone means hard work. Amelis. That's darkness. That's the hard work. That's struggling. But when it comes out, when that sefer is out, that means that the deepest thoughts of this person have now been put into writing, and now other Jews can share and delight in his Torah. That's called Lahaitzi Laor. And it's not only when you publish something. It's when you say what's really in your heart. It's when you could share. When there's a husband and wife who live together in a way of Shalom, in a way of Ahava, in the way that we were talking about the Kruvim. So all of life is a Yitzir La'or. Every minute that's spent together, even if it's without talking, is a yitziyah la'or. I can be who I really am. I could share my deepest feelings. I could share what's in my heart, what's in my mind. I could be mitzi la'or. She's mi'iras einav. And that's why, even though yisoid means communication, it's so hard for so many men to be able to take the thoughts and the feelings and to bring them l'maisa, to tachlis, and to say what's really on the mind, what's really in the heart. And the woman is mi'iras einav. To bring the amelus of his own personality, to bring the amelus of growing up, of years and years and years. And your parents could be hacking you like this and like that, and telling you like this and like that. And one kind and loving word from an Eishes Chayil is Me'iris Einav Mamidos Araglav. Lahitzi La'or. Tachlis. And that's the greatest einig in the world. The unfolding of your deeper self. The revelation of who you are. Connecting to family, connecting to Torah, feeling a sense of tachlis. Therefore we understand that the time that the man spends outside the house is a time each week of Hazar and Bedimah. Planting with tears. Hazar and Bedimah. The whole week is Hazar and Bedimah. Even if you have a nice job, you should be crying. Because if you're not home, and if you're not with your wife and children, if you're not learning Torah every minute of your life, so that's galus. So Hazar and Hazar and Bedimah. And that's the darkness of the 6 days of the week. Being home, especially Shabbos, is bo yovo berina noisei lumaisav. It's the joy of being noisei alumaisa, which means carrying the produce, carrying what you've worked for. The 6 days of the week is Hazar Medima. Shabbos is Berin Yekzayu. Shabbos is Bayovo Berin Noisei Lumaisa. The 6 days of the week is Misha Tarach Be'er Shabbos. It's Gehenna. And it's dark. And Shabbos is light. And we come back to what we said, what we began with, the Lashon of the Tanchuma, the words of the Tanchuma. Vim toim aleisha b'choshech ein zo'ineg, she'ein yoishve gehenim, nidon el b'choshech. We started with the Tanchuma that says that the oineg of Shabbos are the Shabbos candles, the light of Shabbos that's lit by the woman. Because why? So the Tanchuma says, because a person who's in Gehenim is judged, the judgment of Gehenim means sitting in darkness, Chalila. And darkness now we know means, it could be a darkness, you could have the most beautiful suite on Park Avenue. And you could have a $10 million home someplace, you know, in Kings Point. But if your whole life is just the 6 days of the week, and that goes even into Shabbos, and if there's no simcha in that home, between a husband and wife, then it's Yoishve Choshech V'Tzalmoves Asirei Oni Uvarza. Then in the $10 million house, you are in darkness, you are imprisoned. Because even in the home where you hoped to find light, this Choshech Mitzrayim. That is the Klola Chalil of all Klolas of this world. Where there was supposed to be light, is darkness. And Shabbos is Me'en Olam Haba. And therefore Shabbos means, no matter what Gehenna you go through during the 6 days of the week, Shabbos, if a person is Shoyim with Shabbos, then he's out of Gehenna. You get one day off. So now we understand. Toiv Meshnaim and Ha'echad, Ashi Yesh Lahem Schar Toiv Ba'amolam. That's what it means. Rashi says, a wife. It is better that there are two and not one. One is loytei vehiyosodim levado, but two means what? Two means on the simplest level, that now the wife is able to take all of my work and to connect it to meaning and to depth and to bring out la'or, the delight of being in this home, of changing my work, of transforming it into something which is tachlistic. Therefore, the same Kohelis, Shlomo Melech said, Re'ei Chaim im Isha Asher Ahavta. Listen, Shlomo Melech said, Re'ei Chaim im Isha Asher Ahavta. Behold, enjoy life with the woman who you love. Kol Yimei Chaye Havlech. All the days of your narishkeit. Ki hu chelkecha b'chaim. Because this is your portion of life in this world. And this is what you get. This is what you can draw out of all of the work that you work for under the sun. That doesn't mean that tachlis is drowning in each other and forgetting HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chas v'chalil. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking, what we understand, is that ability of the woman who's mi'ira es'enav ma'midol sa'araglov to be able to create a home, and that home is filled with that light of Shabbos, where the husband is strengthened to hear an answer to his question, for what? And the answer that she answers in the most resounding way is for the Rabbanu Shalom. It's for the Rabbanu Shalom. For Melech Malachim Lachim, for the Eibishter, for the one above. And even though it's only 1/7 of the week, it's Mamidol Saraglov to be able to continue. Because Shabbos is Torah. Shabbos is Tefillah. Obviously, this talk that I'm giving this past hour is totally meaningless. If your Shabbos means just not turning on a light or how do I set the air conditioner, you know. If that's the whole Avoida of figuring out the whole Shabbos. And after the meal, just falling onto the couch and falling asleep without any tachlis, without any amelis. Shabbos means with the children. Shabbos means with the wife. Shabbos means, even if God forbid, you're by yourself. It means with a Kadosh Baruch Hu in a way that's not interrupted or affected by the amelis of the outside world. And this is all understood in the words of the Maharal. Gedoy lahavtocha, Chazal say, Gedoy lahavtocha, Tzumar Brachas. Great is the promise, Gedoy lahavtocha, Shehivticha, Kadosh Baruch Lanoshim Yosem Elanoshim. That the promise that Hashem has in store, what Hashem has in store for the women is even greater than for the men. He brings a pasuk. The Maharal explains in his Drush al HaTorah, Ki Ha'ish, what does it mean, the reward that Hashem has in store, what does that mean? Or the haftocha, the promise, is greater. So Maharal writes, Ki ha'ish shehu gever, einu bal sha'anan v'hashkeit, mitzad his gavro v'his pa'alo. Another name for a man is gever. And gever comes from the word l'hisgaber. And l'hisgaber means the life of a man is primarily, how do I overcome this? It's amelus. And work, all of work is, how do I overcome this next obstacle? How do I conquer this next piece of parnasa? The whole 6 days of the week is the gever is engaged in the process of being misgaber, main on his yetzahara and on the things at work. Everything about the gever in that world of yisoid is being misgaber, is trying to win. But it means if you're trying to be misgaber, it means there's an enemy. It means there's a fight. And the gever is struggling to be misgaber. So the Maharal says, this is the definition of the ish, asher hu ha-gever, the Maharal says. Einobal shanan v'hashket mitzad his gabrai v'spalo. The man is not one of silence and of quiet. It's not his way. This of serenity, of peacefulness. It's not his natural way. Because the nature of man is that he's not there, he's on the way. That's what Yisoid means. He's on the way. Man is on the way. That's Amelus. That's the 6 days. He's heading towards something. Therefore, the Maharal writes, B'chein einem muchanim gam ken kol kach el ha-shanan v'ha-menuchu olam haba. Therefore, a man is not so readily prepared to enter into the world to come. He's in greater danger. It's a much harder trip for a man to get to olam haba. Because by nature, His very nature is turbulence. And Olam Haba means quiet. And the nature of man who's in the Chayshach of Amelus of the 6 days of moving towards something means that even when he gets there, he still feels like he has to go towards something. He's not there. Therefore, the Maral says, he's not naturally comfortable, even Olam Haba, which means the place where you're there. You're there. So, you know, you have certain, there are certain people, I have to say I've never seen this with a woman, but I've seen this many, many times with a man. I'm sure I've been guilty of it myself. But I've never seen this with a woman. Maybe it's hard to say, because obviously there's a different way that a man would look at a man than look at a woman. There should be. Very often, and I mentioned this a few weeks ago, you'll talk to a man, catch this in yourself. And while you're talking to the person, he's looking for something else. It's one of the most disgusting, insulting things that you could ever do to a person. Or he's looking at his watch, or he's looking at someone else that's there, and you look around to see what's doing. But the woman come out, you don't see such a thing. I mean, I don't know, you should ask the women whether there is such a thing. Maybe there are yichidei skuli yichidais who do such a thing. It's not the teva. The nature of a man is ekikt. Something else, epis, satan. There's something to do. I gotta go somewhere. I gotta do something. I'm not there. Comes to shul. You see these people that come to shul. Like you think they're gonna take out a knapsack with a tent. And like, you know, a fishing rod and to do something. They can't sit still. Walking up and down. Back and forth, up and down. What do you say? What do you think? What's going on? The market. The Yankees. Something. Right? Something. Tumult. The tumult. So Maral says that Beteva, a man whose Yisayit is not there. It's Amelus. And Amelus means going someplace. And Olam Haba is a place when you are someplace. It's the place of rest. So Maral says, Hu hamnucha ba'atzmai. Aval ha'noshim, the Maral writes, however, women, Ru'uya yisumulchanis lai, they are readily prepared. It's the very nature, Olam Haba, the world to come. It's the nature of a woman to be there, to set up the house. Menucha, this is the place, this is my home, this is where I belong, to be in the place. Not to try to get there, but to mamish be there. And she creates that. Therefore, I think each and every one of you can understand the crisis, one of the most terrible things that our generation is going through is when a woman is not home. It's a terrible, terrible crisis. In my mind, it's one of the most horrible, horrible tragedies that's befallen our people. Is that the husband and wife are both in Chayshach. Someone was just telling my wife that she gets back just in time to light candles, and she has the children with this one, the children with that one. Right, if you can't manage, I'm not talking about a situation where people, God forbid, can't afford it. Obviously, there are difficulties, and you know, a person has to provide for the family. But it's become more than that. It's become more than just providing. I also have to do something. I also want to be out there. If I would begin to talk about this, I'm sure none of you would come back, and maybe just two or three. This is the distortion. This is so outside of Yiddishkeit. This is from such a non-Jewish way. Meiris eindet mamidos haraglev beso zo ishtai. So what happens if the wife is not in the home? So where is the light of their eyes? Where is the einig? It's very, very hard in our generation. It's very hard because our generation is telling women that you have to be just as turbulent as men. Why should they be the only ones that are turbulent? Why can't you also be crazy? What do you mean? You're going to sit there like this? Why should you sit like that? What do you mean? You also deserve turbulence and misery in Gehenna in the 6 days of the week. It's always a pellet to me that the women that want that, I'm not quite sure I understand. So they haven't found a way to be creative in the house. In that world, I know this sounds very outdated, and I tell you the truth, I couldn't care less. And I'm not interested in saying something to please you. I'm interested in saying the truth. And I say the same thing in my neighborhood. and it causes people to get upset, and we'll talk about it. That's what learning Torah means. This is completely from the non-Jewish world. It's sheker v'chazuch, unless people can't make it work. Therefore, I have terrible agony thinking about all these shmuzen that are constantly being given over and over and over in yeshivas and Beis Yaakovs about the Jewish home, but then every single woman has to go provide for her husband, even when he's somebody that really should be out there working because he could barely read Rashi Taisvis. And this is something which is not unheard of and it's not unusual. And I'm certainly not against Karlulim, Chas v'Chalila. Karlul is the life of our people. But there are people who belong there and there are people who don't belong there. And when you tell the women that they have to make a Jewish home, the Jewish home, the Jewish home, and they're the ones who are the essence of the home, but then they can never be home, so what kind of a generation are we expected to raise? I'm not quite sure what it means. Maybe you have the answer to this. I've never gotten a good answer to this question. Every case is obviously different, and I'm certain that what I'm saying is something which would be very, very much frowned upon by many people. But I have trouble with wholesale destruction of Jewish homes. And it's all for the tachlis of creating a Jewish home. So I'm not quite sure what's happening in our generation with that. It never was before. It never, ever was before in the history of our people such a thing. That everybody. And what are the women supposed to do? They're supposed to raise the children. They're supposed to feed the family. They're supposed to always, of course, be well-dressed and beautiful. And they're supposed to be earning money and bright and creative and so on. And the house is supposed to be just perfect and just right. And the children are supposed to be erlich and sweet and filled with the honey of sugar and spice and everything's nice. And the mother's not home. So how could that be? This is the tachlis. Is this the tachlis? And no, nobody ever answered the question to me. There are situations, and you know what? If it would be done properly, then it wouldn't be such a problem. Because those men that really, really should be sitting and learning the whole time, who are the princes of our people, their wives wouldn't have to go out to work. If the ones who didn't belong there would be working and providing for Klal Yisrael. So then the B'nai Torah, the true B'nai Torah, not the ones who are getting up and going to daven someplace at 9:30, and walk into Seder at 10:30 and leave by 12 after battling for 45 minutes. If those people would be at work, then the B'nai Torah who are harving of a Torah, who are struggling with Torah, who are namelis of Torah in the real way, and who are the future of our people, who are the princes of our people, they don't deserve to live in a one-bedroom apartment. Klai Yisrael should be putting those Talmidei Chacham in mansions. And their wives should be princesses who don't have to go a day to work. But this is something, there's a distortion, there's a perversion of some type, and the women are expected to do all of this to provide and to create the home. So therefore we come to Tu B'Shvat. And then in Tu B'Shvat, what does Tu B'Shvat mean? Let me just finish. Tu B'Shvat's an interesting yontif. Over the years I've spoken much more about it, but now we're really talking about Shabbos. I'm only bringing this up now because it's Yontif, and we'll talk about Yontif for a minute. But it's all that we're talking about tonight. On Tu B'Shvat, you're basically eating fruits before their season has arrived. We're celebrating something that's not here yet. Right? It's interesting. You're celebrating something that really hasn't come to be yet. So, really the fruits take a much longer time to ripen. It's Ashkedia Parachas, right? It's the beginning of the first blossoming of the almonds, of the Shkedia, which is the first, which is the beginning. And I just saw, you can go now and see it. Just the beginning. But you know, apples and pears or the Shivas Aminim. I mean, in the store, but not on the trees, it's the winter. So all, what is Tu B'Shvat? If you look at Tu B'Shvat, on Tu B'Shvat, what I'm saying is that I believe with all of my heart that I'm working towards Tachlis. It's not just Amelis. And even now, I can taste something, I can taste a little bit of a tam of the fully ripened fruits that are going to be later on. I could have a little bit of a Shabbos. Even in the 6 days of the week, if there's Shabbos at the end, Tu B'Shvat means I'm celebrating potential with the belief that there's going to be fruits. I'm celebrating the work in the fields and the planting of trees, even though now I don't see the fruits of my labor during the 6 days of the week. I don't see the fruits of my labor. But it's in the hope that someday, all that I've worked for, Rabbi Shalom, you'll help that it will take root. So what happens is that on Tu B'Shvat we have a Kabbalah, that the sap begins to rise in the tree. It means the first taste of Shabbos, the first taste of the Peiros. It's the first blossoming of faith that my hard work is going to bear fruit. That's what Tu B'Shvat is. That what I'm working for is going to one day bear fruit. With my children, it's going to bear fruit. All the homeworks, all the nights up, all the trips and all the band-aids and all the conversations and all the crying and the screaming, or everything somehow, Baruch Shalom. Right now, I feel that it's a chayshach, but I believe Tu B'Shvat Higia, that what one day all of this is going to bear fruit. All the amelis is going to bear fruit. I'm going to sit at the Shabbos table with them. I'm going to see them under the chuppah. I'm going to see them happily married. It's going to bear fruit. There's so much work ahead. The 6 days of the week, the years of a person's life. But as long as I could have already a little bit of a taste of the fruits of Tu B'Shvat, it encourages me. It gives me the koyach to go on till Shabbos. Tu B'Shvat gives the Jewish people the koyach to move on till Shabbos, to make it to the end. Even though sometimes you feel like you can't do it, you just can't manage. But Tu B'Shvat gives you the koyach to be able to mamish, to make it to the end, to make it to Yom Shekula Shabbos Umnucha. Therefore, Hashem is about to help us, each of us in our own lives. Even through the times of Amelis, we should be able to taste something of the Tu B'Shvat fruits. Certainly, in relationships, even if there are difficulties and there are ups and downs, and sometimes with a husband and wife, there are problems. But if a person stops, you know, in Tu B'Shvat we daven, we have a Kabbalah, some B'nai Sosko and others from to daven for what? Daven for an Esrig, right? Mm-hmm. So Tu B'Shvat we daven for an Esrig. Let's say it's an Esrig. So you know, in the Kisvei Ari, in the Zohar Kodesh, an Esrig is a wife. It means the wife. That's why it was so mahadir. People are very picky that the wife should look just so. So you see, the B'nai Shalom should help them, and that they should look more at the Esrigim than at other things. But that's, the Esrig is the same thing. It's the pre-Eitz Hodar. The Esrig is the Tam Ha-Eitz, Ketam Ha-Pri. It's Tachlis. What's the Esrig? It's Kula Tachlis. All the other trees are cursed with the curse of the earth at the beginning of time. And the curse of the earth at the beginning of time was that the trees don't have a taste, only the fruits have a taste. So the men, we understand, is the Nineveh Amelis of the trees, and the women are connected more to the fruits. Therefore, the woman is the Esrig. But the bracha of an Esrig is that the Tam Ha'etz is Tam Ha'pri. The Esrig is unique because the tree has the same taste as the fruit. The Esrig tree itself tastes like an Esrig because that's the bracha of what's going to be when Mashiach comes. The Tam Ha'etz will be Ketam Ha'pri. When there won't be any more separation between the sun and the moon, between one's efforts and one's results. And that day, the Mitzvah will be the day of the Chasna, and the day when all the Ilanei Srak, all the trees that didn't bear fruit in this world will finally bear fruit, with good marriages and good children, Yimei Hashem, a world that's completely Tachlisdik, a world of Eretz Zavas Cholav Advash, Begula Hashem V'Amitich, Mehev Yameinu Amen.